So if you're visiting with us, we're in the middle of a series of messages called Spiritual Heart Check. We're taking a look at our hearts and seeing what we find inside this Lenten season. And we've been looking at some symptoms of a healthy heart. Like Steve said, we're shifting gears and we're going to start looking at some causes and treatments now. Causes and treatments for our hearts. So as we do that, would you pray with me? Father, once again, we come before you during this time to examine your word, but also to examine our hearts. So as we prepare to do that once again, we just call upon your spirit to be at work. Open our ears, open our eyes, soften our hearts. Allow us to hear, allow us to see what it is that you have for us today. We give this time to you, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus, who is our Savior. Amen. So it was a typical Tuesday morning, fall morning, during my junior year at Calvin College. The only unusual thing is when I got out of bed in the morning, I had slight stomach pain. My gut was giving me trouble. I didn't think too much of it at the time because if you eat at the cafeteria enough, you know, the stomach pains, they come and go and you just kind of roll with it. You never know if it was just something bad that you ate. So I didn't think too much about it, but decided, oh, I'll get going with the routine and just see if it goes away. So I hobble off to breakfast, get dressed, shower, and I was one of those people at Calvin who actually went to breakfast. There weren't too many of us. But I would get up early. I liked morning classes. Some of my friends hated morning classes, and they liked afternoon classes. But I like to do fun things in the afternoon and get ready to start to the day. So I hobbled off to breakfast and ate a little something, thinking maybe just got to get something in my stomach. So I did that and then thought, oh, I'll go off to the library and do some studying. Well, while I'm studying, things are not getting better, but actually getting worse with my abdominal pain. And by the time I got to my late morning religion class, things were going so well at all. I had to basically shuffle my way off to class, so I was no longer 6'8", I was about 5'10", making my way through Heminga Hall, if you're familiar with the campus there. Kind of looked like I was about, 76 or so, you know, just kind of hobbling along like that, going about that speed or so, thinking, boy, this is not good. So I grab the first desk in religion class, and my professor comes in, and he says, Henry, he goes, you don't look so good. And I go, well, that's nice, because I don't feel so good either. And he says, you got to get out of here, man. Go off to the health center or something. So I'm like, okay. I didn't want to skip class, because I think in that class you got penalized if we skipped, so I was just sitting there. I said, get out of here. So 5 minutes later, I got out of there, right? And I'm kind of making my way across campus through the snow and made my way over to the health center there. And I get to the door, and what's on the sign? I'm like this, and I'm like, I finally made it out to lunch. I'm thinking, oh, great. I got there between 12 and 1, which is the health center's lunch hour. So I'm like, what do I do? So there I sat on the steps, waiting for them to come back, and about 1:05, the nurse comes, and she opens the door for me. She says, can I help you? And I'm like, yeah, you can help me. So hobble down those few steps into the basement of Bolt Hines Timmer, where I don't even know if the health center is there anymore, but it was at the time. And I get there, and she too said, you don't look so good. So this was a common theme for how I was feeling. That. And I was like, yeah, I don't feel so good. She goes, let's get you in here. And providentially, the doctor happened to be at the health center that day. The doctor's not always, they have doctors that come in and visit. And they're not always there that day, but he was there that day. So they shuffle me, you know, kind of help me shuffle over into a room. And I get up on one of those examination tables that's built for an 8-year-old, right, with the little paper on it. You guys know the deal. And I kind of lay down. He said, what's wrong? And I said, My gut is killing me. And he goes, well, let's see if we can find out why. So these past few weeks at MCC, we've been talking about symptoms. Symptoms of an unhealthy spiritual heart. And symptoms are God's gift to us. Symptoms are God's gift to us that tell us, right, that inform us, that let us know that something is not quite right. Symptoms inform us where we need to focus some attention. And on that Tuesday morning and afternoon at Calvin, the symptom I had was severe abdominal pain. And the pain clued me in, let me know that something was not quite right. What I needed to find out was what was causing that pain. What I needed to find out was why. Why was I having the pain? And friends, the same is true for our hearts. Anger, unwholesome words, impure thoughts, anxiety, and arrogance, these are symptoms. Symptoms that let us know that something may not be right with our spiritual hearts. And in order to treat these symptoms, we need to find out what it is that's causing them. What's at the heart of the matter? One of the reasons you and I may have these symptoms, Jesus says, is because there is a thief that is at work among us. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10. And if you're using one of the Bibles that's on the table there, it's found on page 759. Thanks, Dan. John chapter 10. We're going to look at the first 18 verses of that chapter. And in this text, Jesus addresses one of the causes for the symptoms of an unhealthy heart. Here Jesus says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. And verse 10 again. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. In our text for today, Jesus addresses the cause for the symptoms. Jesus says, the cause is a thief that is at work. Listen again to John 10, verse 10. The thief's purpose is what? To steal and kill and destroy. One of the reasons our hearts become unhealthy is because there is a thief at work whose sole purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy them. The thief desires nothing more than to steal our attention and our worship of the Creator. He desires nothing more than for us to focus on the idols of this world instead. The thief desires nothing more than to steal our contentment and our peace, and instead to replace it with anger and complaint. The thief desires nothing more than to kill our hunger for God's Word. The thief desires nothing more than to kill any desire in our hearts to worship. The thief would love nothing more than for you and me to come to this space each and every week and just kind of go through the motions. The thief desires nothing more than to kill others through our unwholesome words. He desires nothing more than to destroy our passion for prayer, to destroy our relationships with family and friends through arrogance and pride and impure thoughts and persistent anger, to destroy our hearts through sinful lifestyle, to destroy our life and our well-being through fear or anxiety or depression. This is what the thief wants for us. His purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy our lives, to destroy our hearts, to destroy that wellspring. Above all else, guard your hearts because it's the wellspring. He desires nothing more than that, just dry up. Why do we experience these symptoms? Because there's a thief at work among us. So if the thief is causing these things, how then do we treat them? How do we treat this cause? As I read John 10, two treatments emerged for me. And the first one is this: in order to guard our hearts from that thief who is at work, we need to know the voice of the shepherd. When the shepherd talks in regards to his sheep, he says this: they follow me because they know my voice. When sheep are all gathered together in one place, a good shepherd is able to lead his sheep out from the larger flock by simply talking to them, by simply calling out to them. The sheep know him because they know his voice. They follow his voice because it's familiar to them. They know his voice and are able to distinguish it from other voices. Jesus says this of the shepherd: the gatekeeper opens up the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Sheep follow the shepherd's voice and not the stranger's voice or the thief's voice because they know it, and they listen to it, and they follow it. So when I read this, it forced me to ask myself, do I know the difference between God's voice and the thief's voice? Right? Do I know when I'm following God's voice versus when I'm following the thief's voice? Who is it that I'm listening to? Am I listening to the voice on this side? Or am I listening to the voice on this side? Am I able to distinguish between the two? Don't really know. Right? Which one? In order to guard our hearts and to combat the thief's influence on them, we need to know the difference. Who is it that's talking? Who is it that's telling me to do this? Who is it that's motivating me? Who is it that I am following? In addition to discerning the difference between God's voice and the thief's voice, Jesus also highlights another treatment for us, which is this. Discerning the difference between things that take life and things that give life. In our text for today, Jesus not only contrasts the voices of the shepherd and the thief, Jesus also contrasts what the shepherd and the thief do for the sheep. Listen again to the contrast. The thief comes only to what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come what? That you may have life and have it to the full. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons them. And what does he do? He runs away. Right? Run away, run away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The shepherd comes so that the sheep may have life and life to the full. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, right? He gives his life for them so that they are protected, so that they are fed, so that they have what it is they need. The hired hand in times of danger, what does he do? He abandons the sheep and he runs away. The hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. He's more concerned about his own life. He's not concerned about the life of the sheep. In these verses, and through this comparison, Jesus highlights the difference for us. He highlights the difference for us between persons and things that take life from us and that give life to us. Ask yourself, is this giving me? Is it giving my family? Is it giving my friends life? Or is it taking life from me? Is it taking life from my family? Is it taking life from my friends? How about anger? Does anger give life to someone or does it take life from someone? When I blow up at my daughter, right, and get hopping mad at her, am I pouring life into her or am I taking life from her? Contrast that with forgiveness. What does forgiveness do? Does it take life from someone or does it give life to someone? How about pride? Thinking we're all that and then some. Does that give life or does that take life from someone? Arrogance. How about humility? Does humility give life or does it take life? Unwholesome words, impure thoughts? Do they give life to people or do they take life? How about wholesome words? How about pure thoughts? When we speak well of someone, does it give them life or does it take? How about anxiety and fear? When we lay in bed at night, anxious, afraid of what might or could happen, is that giving us life or is it taking life from us? Contrast that with faith and confidence. Does that give or does that take life? Jesus says, sheep follow the shepherd's voice because they know this is the person who cares for them, who keeps them safe in times of danger and provides them food and water. They follow him because he gives them life. People go out that Tuesday afternoon at the campus health center. I lay on that short examination table in pain. My gut was killing me. My gut was telling me that something was not quite right. What I needed to know was what in the world was causing this pain? What was going on in there that could take a man that could stand this tall to go like this, right, and not get any taller? What in the world was happening? So as I lay there, the doctor said, "Well, here," takes his fingers and he starts going like this. He's like, "Does that hurt? How about this? Does this hurt? How about does this hurt?" Right? And as he's poking and as he's prodding, what is he doing? He's trying to find out what is it that's causing. "How about this?" he goes, "Does this hurt?" Which I went like, "Yeah!" Right? I'm like, "What do you think?" And he's like, "Oh, well, that explains it. You got to get to a hospital, Henry. Your appendix needs to come out. It's about ready to burst. Right? If you want to get rid of the pain that you're experiencing right now, right, you got to get over to the hospital and get there quite quickly. And I have to have you stop pressing on me." Right? And the irony of it is that I get to the ER and three more doctors have to verify what he did. So, "Does this hurt? Does this hurt? Does this hurt?" I'm like, "Yes, yes, yes." Right? What was causing it? There was an appendix there, right? That was destroying me, right? That was stealing from me, that was killing me. It needed to come out. Friends, the same is true for our spiritual hearts. Jesus says there's a thief at work whose sole purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy them. And many of us here this morning, I suspect, sit here with a certain amount of pain in our hearts. Pain that's caused by the thief's work in them. And in order to treat the pain in our hearts, we are going to need to eradicate the thief's work in them. That work needs to be removed. How do we do this? First, we do this by being able to discern. Right? We need to know when the thief is talking and when the good shepherd is talking. In order to turn away from the thief's voice, we need to recognize the thief's voice when we hear it. To say no. I know where that's going to take me, and I don't want to go there. Instead of listening to the thief, we will need to know and to follow the good shepherd's voice instead. But in order to treat the pain in our hearts, we're also going to need to know the difference between things that give life and the things that take life out of us. Jesus says, the good shepherd gives life. The good shepherd watches out for you. Your best interest is his primary concern. He's not trying to kill you. He's not trying to destroy you. Right? He's not trying to steal from you. In fact, He laid down His life so that we don't have to experience those things. The thief wants us to lay down our lives for Him. The good shepherd lays down His life for us. A little difference there, would you agree? Our laying our lives down or Him laying His life down? It's a big, big difference. Giving our lives to something that's just going to take it out, or Him giving His life so that we can experience life and experience it to the full. Jesus says, get rid of those things that are taking life from you. Get rid of them. And that's what we've been doing. Those symptoms, right? We're getting rid of them. And instead, receive. Receive life from the Good Shepherd. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I came to give you a rich and satisfying life. Would you pray with me this morning? Father in heaven, as a result of your word to us this morning, we acknowledge that there is a thief at work whose purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy our hearts and lives. We acknowledge that there is a thief who calls us and desires nothing more for us than to leave your presence. Therefore, Father, we pray that you enable us to see where the thief is at work in our heart and lives today. We pray that you will replace that work with the life that you offer us. You came that we might have life and have it to the full. You came to give us a rich and a satisfying life that is ours on account of your Son, Jesus, laying down His life for us. Therefore, Lord Jesus, as we continue to worship you by singing some more songs, by having a time of reflection, speak to our hearts. Remind us once again of why you came. Remind us that you came to lay down your life for us. Remind us that you came that we might have life. It is in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.